You've downloaded a sermon from the King's Church, based in the city of Portsmouth, in the United Kingdom. This sermon was recorded in our evening service, and the speaker is Andy Economides.
My friend Jay John, he rang me up one day and he said, Rodney Howard Brown is speaking at so-and-so, do you want to come tomorrow? I'm thinking, are you mad? What, you think I can just, like, drop everything and come tomorrow? And I said, all right, I'm coming. So I went. I'd heard a lot about this guy, read some stuff about him, and I was really intrigued. I was ready. So I went on the front row. And he did his thing. 2 hours he was on. He did it. I can't remember a thing he said. Nothing. If you said to me the next day, tell us something he said, nothing. Tell us if he used the scripture. I haven't got a clue. I can't remember anything. Like, the day after or a year later, can't remember anything. Honestly. But he had a profound effect on me. I went to hear one of the best communicators in the world. And as he was communicating, us evangelists on the front row of the evangelist conference turned to one another and said, we're glad he's not a Muslim. Otherwise, we'd get converted. You know, he's absolutely... How many brains has he got in his head? What kind of talk is that? How phenomenal is that person? That is just amazing. I can't remember a word he said either. I mean, intellectually, he was wonderful. But this Rodney Howard Brown guy really had a profound effect on me. Why? Ask me why. It's just the way that he was, the way that, just his manner, I found him really intriguing to watch. One of the most interesting creatures on earth. Just the way he walked, the way he spoke, how calm and cool and collected he was. He wasn't in a hurry, yet highly interesting. His whole manner, his whole, just like, I'm thinking, this guy is totally unique, totally himself. And I went away thinking, I want to be more myself. I made a resolution this year. I've made about 7. One of them is to be more eccentric. My wife's begging me, please, don't be more eccentric. You're mad as he is. But as I turn the pages of the Gospels and I look at Jesus, he is totally eccentric. What, was he like normal, average? No, he was really different all the time. And as I observe this character for 2 hours, just like, it'd suddenly stop. It'd like pick someone out and like say something, do something, and just move on. I just thinking, I really, really, I'm going to be more myself. Because God loves it when you and I are free to be ourselves. Do you remember that story in the Old Testament where the king goes to David and says, look, put this armor on and go and fight Goliath. You know, put the whole thing on. Go on. And he tries to put it on and it doesn't fit. He's not used to being someone else, you know, putting the thing off on from someone else. He said, I can't do this. I can't wear this armor. I just need to go with my sling, with some stones. I just need to be myself the way that you have created me, without the armor, without someone trying to put something on me, without me trying to put something on me. Just let me go in my own unique way and be myself with my sling and stones, and I'll kill him. And so I'm really just want to be more. God wants us to be more just ourselves. I was in Africa preaching one day, and while I was preaching, I was thinking about something else. I was doing two things at the same time, you know, and they say we can't do that, but we can, innit? So I'm preaching away, I'm talking, I'm thinking, when I finish this, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to just, Lord, when I finish talking, I'm going to pray for the sick, I'm going to push the boat out, and I tell you, if you don't turn up, you're sunk, Lord. You've had it, because I'm going to do it. I feel really led tonight. There were like thousands of people there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish preaching this gospel story about this person that was healed, that you healed, and I'm going to push the boat out. I'm going to pray for every disease. I'm going to call people out. I'm going to call them out. I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to walk on the water because I feel you're leading me to do it. And if you don't turn up, you've had it. And God said to me, this is what I felt. This is what I felt the Lord say to me, Andy, do you know, when you're crazy like this, when you're cheeky like this, when you talk to me like this, when I'm leading you like this and you're behaving like this, I love it. So you do what you want to do, and it's fine by me, and I am turning up. It's all right. So if you've got your Bible, I want to share three things with you tonight from Hebrews chapter 12. Isn't Gareth nice? How old is he? Three? How much? I know. He's fantastic, isn't he? He looks about three, doesn't he? It's good to look young when you're old, isn't it? No, he is young, but it's nice to look younger than what you are young, isn't it? Isn't it? Did Portsmouth win today? No. Oh, gee. No, why? Don't mention the war. No. Hebrews 3. Shut up. Hebrews 12. Lord, help us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us throw off, let us run, let us fix. I want to say three things tonight. Let us throw off, let us throw, let us run, and let us fix. Throw off everything that hinders. So you know, some things in themselves are not necessarily wrong. They may be, but they may not be. But it's still a hindrance. So I was in Africa some months ago, before Christmas, and I, as I was speaking in this session, I felt, just honour this teacher. So I said, see this teacher here. This teacher has been here for years. Now that's unusual sometimes in Africa. They're on the move. It's like if we can better ourselves. And this guy could better himself. He could have, and like the majority of people, moved and got a better job and got more money. And there's nothing wrong in that necessarily. But this guy, out of loyalty and love for the guy that brought him there, that picked him up, that put him in the school and gave him a job in the first place 10 years ago, even though he had died now, he'd still like continuing there, serving the school because of love and loyalty and commitment to someone that gave him a break, and he just wanted to be there. So I picked him out, and God said to me, just honor this guy in front of everybody. So I said, see this guy here. I said, yeah, told them a bit about him, reminded them of who he was and what it, you know, what he was doing, etc. And said, let's honor him. So I took my watch off. I love the watch I took off, I tell you. If you said to me, I'll give you £200 or £300 or you can keep your watch, I'd say, you can keep your money. I thought there's only one way to do this. So I said, see this guy, let's honour him. So I put the watch on the table, then I took out some local currency. I said, let's honour him today. Let's thank him and honour him. And I put the money with the watch on the table. And the rest of the teachers, they loved it. They thought, what is this? How interesting is this day? So I said, now you, oi, you, sound like a comedian. Who's that comedian? Anyway. I said, now you, get some money out of your pockets and stick it on the table. They loved it. They got the money out of the pocket. They stuck it on the table. Nearly all the teachers, there was a pile of money on the table now with a little bit of my money and my Armani. Yeah, that I was given by an African. It had more like, what's the word? Sentimental stuff. Like, it was really, it was like my ring, you know. Apart from if I gave this away, I'd die. I would not, you know, I don't think, give my ring away. So this guy is at the front now. He's like this. This is the happiest day of my life. I'm getting loads of money and an Armani watch. But more than that, this guy has honored me and thanked me in front of my colleagues and friends. And in Hebrews here it says, throw off everything that hinders you and I every day, every week, every month are in situations where you and I have a choice. I had a choice. And I had to throw away everything that would hinder me, that would prevent me from doing such a thing. What will they think? What will they say? Who cares? I was in a church in Lagos, Nigeria, preaching, and God, I just preached, and I sat down. There were thousands of people in the hot sun. I sat down, and God said to me, I want you to stand up real slow. Slow motion. Stand up tall as if you're 7 foot. Pick up your bag and start to walk real slow into the crowd as if you are the president of a country. And I want you to take out books from your bag and just throw them and give them into the crowd. I said, God, I am not doing that. Where did that idea come from? I'm not doing that. So God said to me, so, you're scared. I said, I am. He said, you're scared of the pastor, what he might think. I said, that's it. He ain't going to like it. Not at all. He said, so you're scared of him more than me? I am. He said, is that good? I said, it's bad. He said, get up and do it. I said, all right. So I stood up, took my bag, and I started this walk. I'm a president now. I'm like Eric Cantona was, you know. Do you remember? Flipping heck. Has there ever been anyone since? Not quite like that. Just the way he looked. And you know the kung fu thing at Crystal Palace? Oh, I love that. I know I'm bad. Who cares? I love that. But the way that... It was awesome, wasn't it? Lovely bloke. Mentally mad. So I got up and I started walking into the crowd. Moses got up. Moses was like our guard, minder. If anyone would come near us and try and harm me or my team, I think he'd flipping kill them. I'm serious. He would seriously damage them. Amazing guy who loved us. He came with me. I will protect you. I love you. I love you, Andy. I'm walking with you. And then I have this other entourage now. They're like following me. I'm the president. So I'm not even looking at the pastor. I don't care what he's doing. So I take out one book and I gave it to someone and I said something. And I just preached this sermon about, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Be a giver, be a giver. So I was giving out these books saying, be a giver. And I was giving them something. Give. And I threw the first one into the crowd. I tell you, the thousands of people, they knew what I was doing without explaining anything. They loved it. They erupted. So I walked to the back of the church. To the back of the crowd. It took a while. I was just throwing books out, giving books out. Don't let anything hinder you. What is hindering you and me from being free, from being ourselves? This woman came up to me at the end of a prayer meeting. Her name was Jean. The moment she started to speak, I thought, it's Jean Darnell. You oldies, like him. He knows. So I thought, listen to what she says. So she says, I have a word for you. Do you remember Jean? I have a word for you. Can I give it? I said, give me it. She says, I see you with a microphone in one hand and a notebook in the other.
and you're not yourself. You're preaching these little sermons, trying to be someone else. She said, you're unique and you're original. Be so. Now I see you with a Bible in one hand and a microphone in the other, preaching to thousands of people with great power. You're unique and original. Put the notebook away. Throw it away. You don't have to be anybody. You don't have to preach in that way. You don't have to do that thing. Pick up the microphone and the Bible and be yourself and original. Throw off everything. What does it say? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That's the first thing. Second thing, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run. God has a race for each of us. He's got a race for Gareth. His race is different from my race. His particular race is a different race. And God says to me, and God says to him, and God says to each of us, run your race. I've marked out a race for you. I've marked out a course for you. God says in the Bible that I have got good plans for you, not to harm you or hurt you. That's nice. Isn't it? Huh? Isn't that nice? Is that nice or is that nice? That's nice. He says, I've got good plans for you. Plans that will prosper you, that will do you good and do others good. We're encouraged here. I love this. Let us run the race with perseverance. And we need, if we're going to achieve anything in life, we just got to persevere. I've been persevering in Nigeria for 17 years. I've been doing short-term trips to Africa, like 10 days, another trip for 10 days, two or three visits a year at the most, taking people with me, taking all sorts of people with me there. And like, you know, over a period of 17 years on these short-term trips, like persevering, persevering, persevering. And, you know, in life, I had to just persevere and push through and hang in, even if it's with my fingernails, just hang in. It's coming. It's getting closer. I just feel it and know it, that you're going to win through in this area for me, Lord. You're going to open the doors. You're going to give me that breakthrough that I'm praying for. Run with perseverance the race that God has got marked out for you. Can we have some slides on? Should we kill these lights? Right, wait a minute. That's great. Could you go back? Go back, first one. Soteria. It's a Greek word, isn't it? It means salvation, wholeness, peace, healing, well-armed, well-oiled, together. It means all them things. Thanks. There are thousands upon thousands of children in the world, in Africa, that are working that should not be. Thank you. We went into some villages. We went into one village looking for some poor people to help. We came out, they weren't poor enough, but they were poor. Went into another village. We looked around, talked to people, looked at their homes. They were really poor. It was desperate, but they weren't poor enough. I was looking for something specific. Then we went into this village, and my team was devastated. Grown men and women were just crying. They were so touched by what they'd seen, felt so much pity and love for what we had seen that day in this village. And this child is one of so many that is not going to school for two reasons. Number one, she hasn't got a uniform.
So although education for her is free at school, secondary school, she cannot go. She's not allowed in. She hasn't got a uniform because she's so poor, and she's not allowed in, therefore. Second reason is she's looking after her brother. Probably because her mother is working. She has no future unless she's going to get some education and training. Her future is not orange. It's bad. Unless something happens. Thank you. I'm preaching here. We're taking the gospel. This is a college. It's like a shack. It's like a shed. Look at it. It's just rubbish. Yet the people are so open and hungry. They're peering in through the, you know, packed inside, packed on the outside, just listening so well to what we are sharing with them about Jesus. God is going to call some of you to do amazing things. Will you listen? Will you say yes? It's amazing what he can do with you and me. Thank you. This young woman here, I met her a few years ago, and her father made her bring men home, sleep with them, and the father collected the money. I'd like to spend 2 minutes with him. So we said to her, you've got a Soteria scholarship. She fell on the floor and thanked us. I picked her up. I said, we're also going to give you money so you can buy food. She fell on the floor. We picked her up. She was so grateful. We put her on a 5-month course so that she could go to college and get some training and leave that abusive life. There are thousands of women and men who are suffering in the world, in Africa as well, in Nigeria, and we're doing something about it. I'm throwing off all I can. I'm running my race with perseverance. God's got a race marked out for you. As individuals, as a church, it's wonderful. Thank you. These are some of the children that we are sponsoring, like long-term. Yana there is, she's holding on to little Okeke. Annie Peace on the other side, she's sponsored by someone else in Britain. So we've got a number of children that we're sponsoring for about 10 years so they can go to this really good private school and have a hope and know Jesus and have a life. Thank you. His mother and father died when he was 11. He's got a special scholarship, which means he sleeps at the school, he's fed at the school, he's watered at the school, and he's educated at the school. Where did this come from? I went to Africa for the first time. I returned March 91. I fell on Heathrow on the floor, literally. I kissed the floor after my first overseas mission, which was to Nigeria, and I swore to God, don't even think about asking me to go back. I've been to hell, sleeping in a double bed with my mate, green water, no water. I'm amazed that we're alive. It's just, I don't need to do that. I don't need to go there. There are easier ways to do life than have to go there. I'm not going. I've been back so many times. It's great when we cooperate with God. Thanks. I'm preaching under a tree at a secondary school here. The state schools in Nigeria are just pitiful. They're just rubbish. I wouldn't let a dog go there. I'm serious. They're just rubbish. So I'm under a tree.
There's no hall. There's nothing. And yet the young people are so open to knowing Christ and following Christ. It's amazing. Thanks. And after we present the gospel and we call people to Christ, we go into classrooms and take between 50 and 100 in this class and then another lot in this class. And we're doing discipleship classes with them. And they have amazing questions like, what did Jesus' cross achieve? What is your race? What is God calling you? We don't have to plan the whole thing out. But what is God asking of you now? Just at this time, in your life, just a step at a time. I've just gone a step at a time. Went for the first time 1 year, God said, you know, you kissed the floor and you said you weren't going to go back. I really, you know, I was just minding my own business in my office in Chichester. It's nice there, isn't it? That's the trouble, isn't it? It's like you're in Chichester and you're thinking, am I in heaven or what? Is this like heaven? Do I really want to go anywhere else when I don't need to? And God said to me, I want you to go back. So I rang up the pastor, Gareth, and I said, I want to come back, Sam. I just want to come back. Something has happened. I want to come back to Lagos, to Nigeria. I just want to come back. It's great. Thank you. This is Iwo. And the people in the crowd isn't the crowd. It's just the people that have come forward to receive Christ. So I said to the bishop, I said, Bishop Francis, what are you going to do with them all? You know, are they going to be lost now? They're going to just wander away. I said, do you have any program to follow up? And he said to us, we tell the people that have come forward to receive Christ that if they come on Monday at 9 o'clock, we're going to give them a free book. I understood. It's like equivalent of saying, come Monday, 9 o'clock, all you people, and we'll give you £1,000. It's like, when I was a boy, if you went for 10 consecutive weeks to Crusaders, as it was classed then, you got a little tin badge. For some reason, I went for 10 weeks to get a little tin badge. I'm not kidding. Some people in Africa, they haven't got a book. I don't have a book. It's like the carrot of carrots. Thank you. This is a small church where we go and visit. God's got a race marked out for you. Where are you setting your sights? Have you got an open heart to where he wants to take you, like, in your life? Because we have an option. We have choices. I don't have to do this, yet I have to. It's funny, isn't it? I don't have to do this, yet if I don't do it, I don't have peace. A bishop in Kenya said to me, come to Kakamega. I said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. No, because I have to get this small plane. And I'm frightened. I didn't tell him that. So I told my wife, I said, you know, the bishop, he won't even pick me up. He won't send the driver to pick me up. Isn't he bad? Isn't he? I told my mate, Jay John, isn't he bad? Jay John, am I right? He says, you're right. He's bad. My wife said he was bad. She agreed with me. My best mate said he was bad. He agreed with me. I'd made up my mind. I'm not going. I'm not going to Nairobi. If you can't be bothered to pick me up, I'm not going. didn't have any peace. So I went to God and I said, God, tell me honestly, do you want me to go? Yes or no? He says, I do. I want you to go. And it was then when I said yes, I had peace. It's great. Next. The building on the left is just finished. Next. That's it. God wants you to build something. It may not be a building. God wants you to do something with your life for others. It's true what Jesus said. It is better to give than to receive. Thank you. Mike came out with me some months ago, and we got to the college, and it needed wiring up, fixing, and he wired the place up. We installed the screens that we took out there. He was amazing, one of my team. And we got the computer room running at the college. Next. We've got dormitories for young people like the girl. And we've got people living in there now. Young men and young women living in this college, a vocational college. We're teaching them IT, secretary, administration, English, so they can get jobs, know Jesus, and have a life. I'd love to take you lot there, all of you. Like put you in the church. I've got a vision to plant a church there. What am I doing? Am I mental? To what? To put a church in Africa? They come here and do the same. Thank God. It's just like, you know, what is this? What is happening? What can happen in here and in life if we're just open? I haven't got, you know, I'm not gifted massively, a little bit. I haven't got great ability. I've got more availability than ability. I've got lots of determination, and I've got some real good friends that help us do this. Next. Christopher, we interviewed teachers last time we went, and we appointed him amongst others. Thanks. We've got a plot of land at the back. Your church has a vision. We have a vision as well, to put this second building at the back of the first one. Thank you. But it's about young people like this that we're helping. It's about helping young people have a life, get qualifications, and get a job or start a business and know Jesus and put something back into society, because something is rubbing off whilst they're with us at the Soteria College. Some of our values about loving our neighbour, about helping others, about being a giver, about being a blessing is rubbing off onto others. Thank you. Great. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race. And the last thing is, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Just fix your eyes on Christ. Put your trust in Christ. Make your number one thing Jesus, and keep your eyes and your heart. Keep your heart on Jesus. What Jesus says, and your life will be absolutely good. Not necessarily easy. We're not promised a problem-free life, But he does say, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added. Keep your heart on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Put your trust in him. Follow him. Whatever he may be saying to you, whatever he's saying to me at this time, we can do. Three things. Number one, throw off everything. Everything. Just throw it off. Even tonight, make a decision to throw off everything and anything that would hinder you. Be yourself. Be unique. Let it rise up, well up within you. God needs you. God needs me to be free. God loves it when you and I are totally free and unique and more so. So when I went to see this guy, Rodney Howard Brown, and I sat next to him for lunch for 2 hours afterwards, and he knows every Basil Fawlty line off by heart. Can you believe that? He's so funny. Little bit of cheese stuck in the throat. Couple of dead dogs and a trough of baked beans and all that stuff. Just like, you know, you just... He just knows, he's amazing. Just the freedom, the uniqueness of the man. That was a sermon to me. Andy, you're quite free. You are unique. But you want to be more, don't you? This is like the model. You can be like this, totally at ease. Totally free, unique. Throw off everything that hinders tonight. As I'm talking and you're thinking, what can I throw off? Just come up with it now. What can I throw off? Name it in your head. I think I'm going to throw off that. I'm going to throw off that. It's hindering me. It may be something that's wrong. It may not be something that's very wrong, but it's hindering you. It may be something in a relationship. It's something. Throw off everything tonight. Make that decision. Throw off everything that hinders. And if there's something more serious, like a sin, just tonight, before God, just say, I'm just going to throw off everything that hinders. Secondly, run. Should we have the band up? Can we have the band up, Gareth? Should we have a time of prayer? Let us run. My race is, I don't know all of it. I know this much. My race is to finish this project. And then take instructions for the next thing. I don't know what that is. I have enough instructions for this season to finish off this, to fill it. It's working well to plant the church there. I want a church of hundreds, a church that is really different, that's sending out a different message. This is what's in my heart. So this is my race. What is yours? What? I just know that for now. For the next few years, that's my particular race. It feels like a mile race to me. Throw off everything. Should we stand? Everything that hinders. Run the race and fix our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to ask you to respond. Now you can do that in a number of ways. You can stay where you are. You can talk to someone next to you. You may want to come out. There'll be a few people here to just ask you why you've come out, and we'll pray for you. But just now, even now, What comes to mind? There's something you want to throw off. There's something, someone you want to be. Guy came this morning. Guy, he's 18 years old. He was sitting next to me. He rang me up. He says, "Jay John has sent me to see you." He says, "This is what I feel I want to do for God. I'm 18. I want to preach. I want to do this. Can you advise me? Can you help me in some way?" He drove all the way from Bournemouth to be here this morning. He's coming to see me. Something is stirring up in his heart to travel all the way from Bournemouth to your church this morning just to sit next to me. Have a little chat for 3 minutes and I was off. And he's coming to see me this week. God is doing something in his dear heart. What's happening in yours? There's so much gift in here. Beautiful lives here. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. So if you want to come out, you want someone to stand with you, pray with you, if you want to throw something off, if you want to tell one of us, "Look, I think this is my race. This is what I feel that I'd like to do. Could you pray with me? I'm finding it difficult to fix my eyes. I've got some problems and difficulties. I want to fix my eyes. I want to trust in my Christ. I want to fix my eyes. Would you pray with me for strength so that I can just stay fixed? Keep trusting. I worry. I'm just diverted easy. I can go off at a tangent. Would you stand with me in prayer so that I can just fix my eyes on Jesus?" So if you want to talk to someone next to you and turn to them and say, "That's fine." If you want to come out, that's fine. If you want to stay where you are, just quietly pray as we worship now for this next little bit before Gareth wraps it all up. Just come, and we'd love to pray with you if you come out. Thank you.
This sermon was given on the 2nd of March 2008. For more information about the King's Church Portsmouth, go to www.kingschurchportsmouth.co.uk.